But it shows us that we all have these opportunities every day. And when you leave a restaurant or a Walmart or your job and you pray for somebody or you sow a seed of positivity into somebody instead of complaining all, you know, whatever, then we don't know what that seed will grow into. We don't know how that influences that. It blows my mind. I'm still shocked that 2 years later, this guy remembers our names even. And it's not about us. It's about the fact that we all have this opportunity. And so Will blessed me with that this morning. And I wanted to bless you, to encourage you that we all have these opportunities every day. That wasn't a church service. I didn't have to go lay 38 hands on him, and we didn't have to go out in the spirit. Nothing wrong with any of that. But we can change lives when we speak the life into people. Love, positivity. We all have that choice every day, as Wednesday night's lesson was. We can tear people down. We can be right, or we can be godly. And so I wanted to share that with you, and thank you, Will, for doing that. I've got two quick videos, and they're just like 15-second videos, so it's not going to take like long. God has been pouring this into me, and I know we've got some guys from, and I want to say a shout out this morning to the guys at Northeast, okay? Northeast Correctional Unit. They're having a hard time. They don't get any services. They're getting these services. They are getting these services. And so I just want to say a shout out to you guys today. Keep the faith, okay? Keep the faith. God's doing things. But when you're in, and we've got some guys that used to be incarcerated in here. Let me ask you a couple questions. T-Dot, or maybe Regan can answer this, or some guys that's been to other facilities. What do you think about a sucker punch when you're in prison? You ever heard of a sucker punch? What's a sucker punch? You get hit when you're not expecting it. Do you have a lot of respect for somebody that gives you a sucker punch? Oh, I'm getting amens from PJ. You don't have a lot of respect because they don't come up and approach you, do they? They don't come up and do it with honor, do they? No. Sucker punches are dangerous because you don't see them coming. When you're NFL quarterback, they say you're more likely to get hurt or fumble by the hit you don't see coming. Do you know what I'm saying? If you see that lineman coming at you, you brace, you hold the football. But when you don't see it coming and you get hit, you get hurt. Let me tell you something. We have an enemy in this world. His name is Satan. And he seeks to take you out. He does not want a fair fight. He has never fought a fair fight. He knows not how to fight a fair fight, but he does know how to sucker punch, and he's a sucker punch artist. And that's the guy we got to watch out for. So I wanted to show you a couple of real 15-second videos, and somebody sent me this one about 2 weeks ago. This is a guy, and you don't have to care anything about football, but this guy here is a wide receiver. He has a big mouth. I'm not going to say anything bad about him. He was a good wide receiver. He's got a big mouth. And there's a guy on the defense called Ray Lewis. And if anybody ever knows who Ray Lewis was, Ray Lewis didn't mess around. He played defense. And so we're going to entitle this. I think somebody sent it to me, titled it, "What Happens When the Devil Tries to Sucker Punch One of God's People."
That was Ray. I thought I could hit him. I tried to blindside Ray. He ran me over.
Did you hear what he said? I tried to blindside Ray, and he ran right through me. Let me tell you what. When the devil tries to take out one of God's, he's going down. He's going down. Because the sucker's going down. The sucker's going down. I don't know what your theology is. I don't know whether you're Armenian. I don't know whether you're a Calvinist. But I do know this, that the devil is going down when he tries to sucker punch one of God's chosen, one of God's anointed. So I got good news. If you're one of God's kids in this room, how many is one of God's kids? Are you God's kid? Then don't worry about the sucker punch, because my God is going to knock that sucker out. All right, now second video. I think you're just going to play about 15 seconds, right, or something? All right, go ahead. Could you all see what happened there? How many knows that there's a group of hyenas can take out a lion? Did you know that? Because they team up on him. What that video showed, I don't know if you could see it right. No, that's all right. That's all right. But what was going on there was there was one lion by itself. And the group of hyenas was trying to kill it, to take it out. But then come the other lion. And when that other lion showed up, those hyenas went on the run. So I'm here to tell you, you may feel alone and you may feel outnumbered and you may be alone and you may be outnumbered, but there's another lion. It is the lion of the tribe of Judah, and he wants to roar in your life, and he's showing up on the scene to take out every sucker punching hyena. My God takes out the suckers who deliver the sucker punch. I ain't worried about no suckers. I ain't losing sleep over no suckers. Not because I'm cool. Not because I'm strong. Not because I'm pretty. Not because I'm any of those things. But because I know who my God is. I know who the lion is on my team. And when he shows up on the scene, he takes care of those suckers. So we're going to read some old scripture. We're going to go back. Now look at that. That's the picture. Thank you, Lake. Look at that. Look at that lioness getting taken out. But look who's coming on the scene. Come on. Somebody in this room today, this is prophetic. This is somebody in this room this morning. And you feel like you're getting taken out. But look in the distance. Your rescuer is coming. He's coming. Your rescuer is here. And he's about to change your situation. He's going to change your situation. So we're going to preach. We're going to read a scripture, old scripture that you've heard many times, but very, very, very couple, very distinct parts of it that the Holy Spirit, and I don't know where it all goes, but there's a couple of distinct parts that the Holy Spirit has illuminated my eyes that maybe I've preached it before. I don't know, but I don't remember if I have. But it's something I think you need to hear today. It's something I need to hear today. It's something about knowing. I think there's this idea in America or in the world or in the church or that we're in trouble or we're helpless or it's a bad time. And I want to encourage you that there is no better time there's ever been in the history of the world to be. That we are not going down. We are not being defeated. I have read the Bible. It says the kingdom shall continue to advance, growing stronger and stronger and stronger. So if you're not growing stronger and stronger and stronger, we got to get back in the kingdom and into the protection. So I'm going to read in the book of Exodus. Exodus 14, I'm going to start at verse 5. Exodus 14 and 5. We ain't worried about no sucker punch today. If you have it in your Bible and you want to stand, you can. Exodus 14. And the Word of God says this. When word reached the king of Egypt that the Israelites had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds. That's what a sucker does. He gives you his word. And he goes back on his word. What have we done letting all those Israelite slaves get away, they asked. So Pharaoh harnessed his chariot and called up his troops. He took with him 600 of Egypt's best chariots, along with the rest of the chariots of Egypt, each with its commander. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. So he chased the people of Israel who had left with fists raised in defiance. The Egyptians chased after them with all the forces in Pharaoh's army, all the horses, the chariots, the charioteers, and his troops. The Egyptians caught up with the people of Israel as they were camped beside the shore near Pi-Haroth, across from Baal-Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and they panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord and they said to Moses, "Why did you bring us here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness." But Moses told the people, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord Himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. You may be seated." Hallelujah. So, backstory. You guys know the story, I assume. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. They've been in Egypt about 440 years, okay? The Israelites had their own nation. There was a great famine. God sent a guy named Joseph to Egypt from the pit to the palace to rescue his people. So he got favor in Egypt, and he granted them asylum in Egypt and a place to eat. So Egypt was a place of rescue. They were not taken hostage in Egypt. They went there to escape a famine. They went there at the direction of God. God set that up for them. He provided provision to them to keep them alive. The problem wasn't that they went to Egypt. The problem was they stayed in Egypt too long. And the place of rescue became a place of bondage. They were there 440 years. They weren't supposed to be there 440 years. Did you know many times God can give us a place of rescue in our life, a point of rescue? We come to an altar, all of us do, most of us do, that we need a rescue. We come in crisis, we come in a famine, we come in a situation, we come with our life upside down, we come depressed or with somebody sick or facing legal charges or needing off drugs or stress or just desperate or hungry for more or something we're looking for. We come looking for something. And then what do we find? Rescue. Most people in this room, you came to God, whether it's this building or some other building, initially with an urgent need from God. In fact, I'll ask this question. How many remember the first time you either came to this? Well, let's just start here, and then we'll go. How many remember the first time you came here? And were you seeking something from God? Do you remember? I want you to think, do you remember? I know you remember, Joe. Do you remember? Maybe some of you are hungry today. Maybe some of you are looking for something today. Do you remember why you came? Do you remember why you sat up on that hill? We don't need to spend all of our time looking back, but there's benefit to at least remembering where God has brought us from. Do you remember Holly? Regan, you remember that impossible prayer you put in that box? And so, but here's the situation. We can spiritually stay at a point of rescue too long. We can still be sitting here, but we're still the person always looking for rescue. God, rescue me. I'm a victim. Oh, I've got a mess. Oh, I'm a mess. I need more counseling. I need this. I need that. And there's nothing wrong with these things. But sometimes God expects us to progress and not stay at the point of rescue, so that the one who needed rescue becomes the rescuer. You see, God's plan is not for us to come to a point of rescue and stay here. Yes, it's a hospital, but hospitals are meant to get people together. It's a hospital, not a morgue. We're not here to put people in the dirt. We're here to get people out of their dirt. And so what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to come to the point of rescue and get fed. Then we're supposed to transition through a place called the wilderness, which is a place of transition or travail, where we grow. And then we get to a point called promised land or purpose, where we're supposed to occupy or dwell in a place of purpose. We're not supposed to stay in Egypt. We get fed in Egypt. We go through a wilderness. We cross a river and we occupy our place of purpose. So here's the deal. If you've been to Egypt, but you're not occupying purpose, you're sitting still too long, and you will get a victim or a slave mentality. These people said, we should be slaves. We're scared. We should just still be slaves in Egypt. They had accepted their lot as being a slave. We can accept our lot as being a victim. I'm here just to try to get through. How you doing today, Will? I'm just getting through. I'm just surviving. That is a slave mentality. That is a victim mentality. I'm trying. Listen, honesty has its place. And if you are that way, or you are in that shape, we've all been in that shape. We've all failed. We've all fallen. We've all messed up. This is not a place where we bury people. The gospel does not bury anybody. Anybody that does get buried in the gospel, they get out of their dirt. So when you mess up, you're in a place where God wants to get you back up and get you back on the road. That's why I don't understand when people try to disqualify people for making mistakes or doing bad things or doing wrong things. That's what people do. God don't disqualify you for that. You just got to get up. And when people disqualify you from that, they're speaking from the pits of Satan, from hell. That's devil. That is Satan. That is Antichrist, because it is anti the gospel of Jesus that says that all men can be forgiven and restored. And that's why he went to a cross. And that's why he died for you and me. So we're not meant to stay in Egypt. We're meant to get fed in Egypt. And then we're meant to move. But get this, God never sent people out of Egypt one by one. He never sent people out of Egypt two by two. He never sent people out of Egypt 10 by 10. It was all or nothing. And so he sent a rescuer named Moses, and 2.4 million people approximately were rescued from the place of bondage. They started a journey, and that's where many of us are today. And in fact, I'll say this, we're all there. We've not arrived yet. We're on the road somewhere. We're crossing some bridges. We're crossing some seas. We're killing some giants along the way. But we have not arrived yet where we're going. But we're on a journey. And so God sent Moses to lead one man, to lead 2.4 million people from Egypt, the place of slavery, the place of bondage, to lead them into a wilderness and to a purpose. Now, it says they left with fists of defiance raised. And that can be us. We have so much energy and exuberance when we give our heart to Jesus, right? We, yes, I'm taking this thing, right? We all do that. Nothing wrong with emotion. God uses emotion. I'm very emotional, if you can't tell. I'm sometimes loud because I'm passionate, because I care. I don't want to talk to somebody. If somebody tried to sell me something, man, you need to get that car. That car is good. If you want a car, get it. It's all right. It's a good car. I want somebody to say, you need that car. That car. car is the car that will drive you where you need to go. I want somebody that's passionate to pour into me. I want passionate leaders. I want passionate people around me. I'm passionate. Because anything worth having is worth being passionate about. Because I really believe it. And if I believe the stuff in this book, Josh, how could I not be passionate? Anytime I'm not, it's probably a lack of faith in it. Passion. And so he leads them. They leave with passion, and they get to a tough spot. They get to a hard spot on the road. And that's where a lot of us go wrong. Not judging, been there. I still get there sometimes. We get in rough spots. We get to a dead-end road. How many of you ever went down a dead-end road? I went to one of those crazy mazes one time. You remember going to that crazy maze? I couldn't get out of that thing. I'd work and work and work, and I'd get in every dead-end. And I didn't have the patience. Sometimes in our spiritual life, when we're trying to leave Egypt and we're trying to get to promise, we get to a dead-end, and that's where the people got. They got to a sea. And a sea's a tough spot. There's no bridges across too many seas. There's one up in Chesapeake. But there's not too many bridges across seas. And so they get to a sea and they're kind of like, what do we do now? What do we do now? Have you ever been to a place in your life where you're like, what do I do now? God, I know where I come from, but where do I go now? Where do I go now? Have you ever been there? And so it's at that time. It's a key time in our lives when the sucker punches. The sucker rarely punches in the sunshine. When you're strong and you're ready and you're sitting here saying, bring it on, bring it on. That's not when a sucker punches. When the times are the toughest in your life, when you're going through stuff, that's when the sucker punches. That's when you get the attack from behind. And so here they are, they're facing this difficulty, and from behind comes the enemy, because that's what your enemy does. He don't fight fair, Juwan. He hits on every break. He'll swing when you ain't looking. We can train for war, but it's a sucker punch we don't see coming. And so the sucker started pursuing. If you look back in verse 4, I've often thought this. Many people have questioned, well, why did God harden Pharaoh's heart? And we're not going to get into that theological debate. That's actually a hot topic for some people who want to make it one. But I do want to read verse. I'll tell you about verse 4. If you look back in verse 4, it said that God knew Pharaoh was going to come. Now, the people didn't know Pharaoh was going to come. Maybe they should have known Pharaoh was going to come. But God knew Pharaoh was going to come. And it says in verse 4, it says, I have planned this in order to display my glory. It was a setup from day one. God set up the sucker so that the people could see who their protector was. It was a setup from day one. And so we find ourselves saying, God, here we are, and you've given us these plans, and you've given us these prophecies, and you've given us these assignments, and we believe your word. Why do we get the sucker punch from behind? It's because God is going to use it to show his glory and demonstrate his power. Remember when Jesus prayed for Peter and said, Satan's going to sift you, Peter. You think Jesus would say, don't allow it to happen? No. Jesus said, when he does, get back up, go strengthen your brothers, and show them that you come out the other side. God allowed the sucker punch just like he allowed Ocho Cinco to run across the middle of that end zone, because he wanted the whole world to see Ray Lewis knock that jump out. Let me tell you something. God will allow the sucker punch to come, but he will take your back, he will cover your back, and he will protect you on all sides. So, Word of God says they come at him and they're panicking and they're scared. You know, I really believe with all my heart, we all have our moments. Nobody in this room is above worry. But you got to understand something. If you're one of God's kids and you have You are following him, and you are playing the right position. You're in his will, right? The devil has no authority to take you out. Do you know that? Did we not sing a song earlier? Who has the king, the keys to death, hell, and the grave? Now, the Satan doesn't go to God and say, I know you got the keys, God, but I don't like this one. Can I just borrow him for a minute? I need to take her out. No. God has the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Jesus took them back. He ain't going to give them back to the devil. He's not giving them to no sucker. So the devil has no authority. The devil ain't taking me out, Jack. And if you are playing your position in the kingdom, he's not taking you out either. Now, I know some people will hear this and say, whoa, now I'm offended because I had a loved one die. Understand this. If your loved one is playing their position, we all will get a chariot ride one day of fire, okay? That will happen. They'll say one day, Billy Graham once said, somebody over the papers will come out with a lie and say, Billy Graham died today. I'll be more alive than I ever was. Listen, this body will perish on this earth, but it won't be because of sucker punch of the devil. It'll be because God says it's your time. You finish your race, get in your chariot, and let's go get your reward. But the devil has no authority to take me out or take you out or take you out. If we play our position, if we're in the correct position, God is in control. Stand up and watch. So when we're going through stuff and we get hard points and we get attacks from behind and we get attacked from all sides, take comfort and know this, your God is in control. Get on the phone, get on your Insta book, get on all that stuff and say, look, friends, if you're my friend, pop you some popcorn, enjoy the show, and watch my God show up and show out, because he's going to change my situation. He's changing situations in this room, and we're giving golf applause. Some people in this room need to claim this and receive it and go for it. We don't give golf applauses and we say God is going to change your situation. We should be doing backflips. I can't even do a backflip. These people saw no way out. They were between a rock and a hard place. And here come the pressure, the pressure, the pressure. The pressure was coming from the rear and there was nowhere to move in the front. Does anybody ever here ever feel pressure? Pressure. It's tough sometimes, but God. In verse 19, it says something powerful, and I think this is kind of the crux of this whole sermon. Because I believe there's some people, we've been under pressure, and I believe there's some people who have faced some sucker punches in this room. I believe some people know what it's like to get hit from behind when you least expect it. But in verse 19, it says something pretty amazing. It says, then the angel of God. Now understand something. I'm not going to argue with it if you don't believe it. But most theologians believe, most preachers believe, you believe, right? That when you see the angel of God, that's a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. Okay? Do you understand that? Jesus has always been here. He didn't become flesh until the gospel. But you remember John 1? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus has always been here. He spoke creation. Jesus didn't just show up halfway through the Bible. Jesus is all through the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, Jesus always is. He always has been and he always will be. And so in the Old Testament, now they'll talk about angels. You know, you'll name angels, an angel, or you know, they'll name one of the angels. But when you see the angel of God, most people say that means a pre-incarnate Jesus, okay? If you don't believe that's okay, you can just say it's the angel. Although, you know, he names the rest of the angels. But the angel of God, listen to what it says, who had been leading the people of Israel. So the angel of God was leading the people out of their bondage towards their purpose. Moses was behind the angel of God, and the people filled in their position. positions after that. Now listen to this. Then the angel of God who had been leading the people of Israel moved. Say moved. Some people say, I need God to move in my life. Well, hallelujah. You serve a God of the move. It says that the angel of God who had been leading, what's going on behind him? What's going on behind him? Help me. Huh? What's going on behind you sometimes? Huh? Be loud. Help me out here. Right? They're coming. The enemy's coming. And so what did Jesus or what did the angel of God do? He moved to the back. He moved. You know what? I hear some people saying, I got your back, Pastor R. I got your back, Pastor Heath. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But I tell you one thing. I serve the God who will always have my back. He will move to the rear. I ain't worried about no sucker punch because my God will protect me. Let the suckers come, Ocho Cinco. I love seeing suckers get knocked out. I love it. And they will. Jesus moved and he put himself between the spears of the enemy and God's people. Isn't that awesome? If you feel like you're under attack, you feel like you got some arrows at you, you feel like you got some spears coming at you, come here. Come here. I don't got all day. Come here. You feel like you got some spears after you. Jesus puts himself right in between the enemy and your attack. Are the spears real? Yeah. But my God is real too. And he is putting himself in position. If you go back to verse 15, it says this. God told the people to move. The people moved. Then God moved. Then the wind moved. Then the water moved. Then the sea moved. You want God to move? You gotta move. Move his heart. We have to be in line following the angel of the God, playing our position. And then the sucker punches we don't got to worry about. You remember when they caught a woman in adultery? Was she guilty? Absolutely she was guilty. Absolutely she was guilty. Everybody says, well, I think people should get what the law says they get. You do until it's you. I've been on both sides of this thing, Jack. When somebody else does something to you, prosecute them to the limit. When you do something, mercy, mercy, mercy. Give me mercy, mercy, Lord. Woman was there, these men were around with big rocks. They just wanting to do it, man. See, that's what religion does. I'm down here, but I'm 6 feet or so. I'm actually more than that. Religion loves to hit people. It's not, you know when your parents say, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Sometimes that's true. But I've seen sometimes parents, and not mine so much, but, I've seen some things. They look like they like it a little bit, don't they? They look like they like it a little bit. Sometimes you like it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You ever seen a parent really just start spanking? Now, I really honestly never had to stay down. Who told you to move? Religion always enjoys the process more than they should. There should be nothing enjoyable about punishing somebody. It's not enjoyable. It's not enjoyable to tear people down. That's a perversion. But those men here, you see them, and they just ready to throw them rocks. I don't know what kind of hate was in their heart to want to hurt this poor girl. She'd messed up, but there was something in their hearts. They enjoyed taking her out. What did Jesus do? The angel of the Lord, he stepped in between the rock and the lady. Religion is going to throw rocks at this ministry, and they've thrown a lot, and they're going to throw more. But I don't worry about that, because I know the angel of the Lord is going to step in and has our back. Thank you, sweetie. Was I too mean? I didn't say it mean, did I? I'm going to get whooped when I get home. I act all tough. I'm going to get whooped. Jesus moves to the back and covers their back, so you don't have to worry about your back. Now let me show you something cool. I need participation. This is different. I know I usually just yell the whole time. This is different. We're teaching a little bit too. I need about 6 people up here real quick. Move. I'm not going to make you talk. Just get up here. Come on, hurry. I don't have all day. We're going to be late, and you're going to blame me, and I'm going to say it's you all wouldn't come up here. Now, I want you to face the cross on a single file line back to me. Guys, what kind of geometric shape are we making? That's good. Now listen. I know we're having fun, but listen. I want God to really prove a point. I want him to really sink something in your heart today. This is the people marching. This is us. We're marching. This is God's people marching. We're part of one body, one army, unified. We all have a position to play. Now, let me show you something. The children of Israel were in this line, and they all occupied different places in the line at different times. Did you know somewhere back here was a guy named Joshua? When they got to the Red Sea, he wasn't up front saying, "Woo, let's go, boys." He was occupying his place in line. There would come a time when God would need Joshua to change his position in the line. But for this day, he played the position that God's chosen had put him in. Now let me show you something amazing will happen. When we're in the right position, following God. Here, we'll take, if you get this out, you're King Arthur. Amen. See? You see why he went to the Kissimmee Muscle Gym? He ain't as weak as he lets on. Jesus is at the front of our line leading us. And if we're in this line playing our position, when the sucker punch comes, Val, be the sucker puncher. Come up here. Hurry. Come out halfway and stop. Stop. Listen. Jesus moves. And he stands right here. Now, the enemy throws fiery darts. That's an arrow. That means this day's age. He's not have to come all the way and touch me. They can attack me from back there. So here's what's important if you want that protection. Everybody listen, because we all want that protection from behind, don't we? What happens when one person gets out of line? Now, Jesus is protecting the army. What happens to the guy out of line? They're vulnerable. Now, what would make them get out of line? Maybe they're frustrated. Maybe their heart's good. Maybe they think they can help more out there. I'm going to help more. I can do more. I got my own mind made up. I can do more. But the problem is they don't have the protection out there. If we want that protection, we got to be moving in the right direction, And we got to play the position that God and God's leader has chosen. Get back in line, son. So we've got to play our position because we're going to cross the sea. And the sucker is going to punch. He's already punching. But my God has our back. And we all have a role to play. Y'all can be seated. Thank you so much. And you guys, I'm just going to give you a hard time about the geometry. I will say this. I played ball a little bit in college. And my freshman year, my biggest contribution was filling up water cups for people. And my coach came to me. I guess I didn't act discouraged. I really wasn't that discouraged. I was tickled to be there. But he came to me and he said this. He said, "Heath, you keep doing what you're doing. You keep working hard." He said, "On this team, the sun shines on everybody some days." Now, my day, that day, might have been just to fill a water cup. But I was a part of a team. And I don't remember, I do remember a few point scores and things, but I don't remember a lot of the statistics and things like that. I really don't. I can tell you a lot about other people. When I was young, I'd probably tell you more. But I remember what it was like to be on a team. And I know what it's like when I see those guys now. They're my brothers. Because we did something together. We're doing something together. And your role today might be different than your role tomorrow. I don't know, may not be. But you are playing a part of a team that's going somewhere. The attacks are going to come, but he's got our back. But we got to be moving, and we got to be in position. Amen? Let's go. Let's go. God has our back. And if you're in this room and you feel like you're under attack, God has your back. So I'm going to read on just a little bit. In verse 20, it says, "The cloud settled between the Egyptian and Israelite camps, and as darkness fell, the cloud turned into fire, lighting up the night. But the Egyptians and Israelites did not approach each other all night." Listen to this part. "Then Moses, all those people behind this man that God sent, who was a murderer? He's a hothead? Well, I think he must have been all right after he come to know God." No, he didn't. He was a murderer and he broke the, what did he do to the tablets? You don't think he had a hothead? He got mad and broke the Ten Commandments. He broke the Ten Commandments. Literally. Right? I don't think God uses people that make mistakes. Well, then you haven't read the Bible. Because I can't find anybody in there that wasn't a mess up, but God got them out of their mess and changed the world. And that's good news for me and you, because we're all mess ups. So Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. You say, "I'm at a sea, I'm in a dead end, I'm in a point I don't know how to get through. This has been a tough year." No, it's not. They're all tough. This has been a year of the kingdom of God advancing. God is moving. God is moving. You know what the greatest year in your walk should be this year? You know what the next greatest? Next year's going to be better, and next year's going to be. If you're still looking back for some goosebump 10 years ago, then you're not in the game. Get in the game. Get in the game. I'm not looking for yesterday's goosebumps. They were awesome times. They made a lot of memories. But today is the best day of my life. How about you? You say, "How do you say that?" Because that's what the gospel says. I've read Revelation. The kingdom advances and advances and advances, and we win. we don't retreat. God's not in retreat. God's not in decline. God's not in COVID pause or politician pause or whatever kind of pause or, oh, the moral decline of the society. Yeah, I know that we have some crazy stuff going on that I don't always agree with. But I didn't agree with the first century when they were feeding Christians to the lions or having orgies in the churches and all this other stuff. There's a lot of stuff been going on for a long time. But my God wins. My God wins. Stop focusing on the negative and understand we win. I'm not worried about the negative. I'm worried about the positive. I don't need a government to do my job. My job is to advance the kingdom of God, whether I'm in China or Russia or America or Africa, and I don't need no politician doing it for me because I don't believe in any of them. I believe in Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Well, if the government make this illegal, people still do it. But if we do our job, they won't want to do it because they'll be saved and following Jesus. The solution is Jesus. It's Jesus. Witness to them. Love them and show them the way, the truth, and the light. Just before dawn, in verse 23, sucker punches at night. The sucker comes at night. Just before dawn, it says, verse 23, then the Egyptians and all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and charioteers chased them in the middle of the sea. You ever feel chased? Pursued? I've heard people in their mental health notes talk about they had this impression of being pursued. You ever felt that way? And I'm not saying we all have mental health issues. Maybe we do, maybe we don't. But we've all felt sometime pursued, haven't we? And I don't mean literally. You could be literal like Scooby-Doo. But I mean that there's something behind us going to get us. That there's bad like at home. And like yeah, I'm just, I feel good, but that scares me because something bad's going to happen. Right? We can become conditioned because we've been in Egypt too long. Remember, they got out of Egypt. Took them longer to get Egypt out of Israelites than get Israelites out of Egypt. And so that slave mentality is hard, and we feel like the enemy's chasing us. In this very situation, he does chase us. You know what 1 Peter 5 and 8 says? I got to say this. Michael, I know you know it. What does 1 Peter 5 and 8 say? Huh? The Satan is as a roaring lion. Number one, doesn't say he's a lion. He's a sucker. He's a sucker. He's a pretender. I'm doing this. No, you're a sucker. You're a pretender. And so it says he is as a lion. There's a lot of as lions. There's a lot of wannabe lions. There's a lot of people with lion t-shirts. It says the devil was as a roaring lion. But then it goes on. What's the rest of it say, Michael? Seeking whom he may devour. Now, whoa, whoa, whoa. Remember what I said earlier? It didn't say seeking everybody to devour. Who he may devour. What's the difference? One, he has to have permission or authority. One, he can't touch. If you are in line and in your position, he has no authority to devour you. But you get out here on your own. You get out here playing Rambo. You get hurt. My friend, good to see you back. Good to see you back. You know, World War II wasn't one of Rambos. They make good movies, and I love them. Oh, I can sit and watch a Rambo movie. God forgive my soul. We used to watch them, and Dad would hit mute every cuss word, you know. But he missed the cuss word. He'd only mute the word after, but you know how that goes. He tried. He tried. God love them. They tried. They tried to raise me right. Mama tried. That's a good song, isn't it? Mama tried. And here I am. I don't know. But Rambos make good movies, but they don't win wars. Armies win wars. So they were together. So the devil seeks whom he may devour. And just before dawn, the devil started to strike, seeking whom he may devour. But I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen to this next part. It says this. But just before dawn, listen to this part. Remember I told you we were talking about who the angel of the Lord was? Look at this. The Lord looked down on the Egyptian army. Now, I want you to pay attention. Every word's important. Where did he look from? Did he look from heaven? Did he look from way up beyond the galaxies, beyond the black holes, into some infinity where he was winding a clock and sitting back with his legs crossed watching this thing unveil? Is that where he looked from? He looked from a pillar of fire and a cloud that was directly behind them. God had moved, understand this, down and closed the distance between himself and his children who were under attack. To the level under a drone, Will. We could have flown a drone up to God level. That's pretty crazy stuff. That when his people were under attack, first of all, the angel of the Lord moved to the back, and then God moves down into the cloud and says, "Not today, Jack." These are my people. And yeah, the sucker's coming, but I'm going to knock that Jack out. And so God looks down from the cloud and the pillar of fire, and he throws their forces into total confusion. Stand still. Take confidence that Jesus has your back. He will fight for you. When you don't know how to fight, he will fight for you. That's the problem sometimes. We fight too much and we create messes and we create enemies when what we need to be doing is advancing towards the cross. Advancing towards the cross and trust that he will take our back. He will fight our enemies. He will confuse or confound their efforts. Let the suckers swarm. Let them meet. Let them murmur. They will be confused and knocked out like chumps. God has your back, no matter what your situation. Somebody need to hear that today. Somebody's forgot that. Or you don't maybe you're tired, scared. 1,000 may fall by your side and 10,000 by your right hand. But it shall not come near you. It shall not touch you. Though the enemy tries, though the sucker tries, he shall not touch you. But we got to stay together and we got to stay moving. We move and God moves. We got to stay moving. And I'll just conclude. I'll read the scripture, the conclusion. Listen to this, man. Some of you who feel that you've just got so many enemies and so much going on and chaos and mess in your lives, and it's okay. Read what God wants to do for you today. But just before dawn, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian army from the pillar of fire and cloud, and he threw their forces into total confusion. He twisted their chariot wheels, making their chariots difficult to drive. Let's get out of here. This is the enemy. This is the great. This is Ocho Cinco. This is the hyenas. This is the greatest, the most evil. This is the Egyptian army, the greatest army in history. The greatest army in the whole land at the time. And the Israelites didn't even have to throw a punch. They just had to move in formation in their position. And God moved to the rear. And he twisted their chariots, and it says this, "Let's get out of here, away from these Israelites." The Egyptians shouted, listen to this. See, sometimes devils have more faith than Christians sometimes. I want you to read this last scripture. This is the Egyptians. They didn't even believe in Yahweh. They didn't worship Yahweh. They didn't, but they looked and they said, "Let's get out of here. Because God is fighting for those people." Listen, your enemies don't have to believe, but they will see the power of God if they come near you. And so it says that when all the Israelites reached the other side, the Lord told Moses, "Raise your right hand over the sea again. Then the waters will rush back and cover the Egyptians and chariots and charioteers." And so as the sun began to rise, somebody's dawn is here. Joy comes in the morning. Somebody's sunshine is coming up. Dawn is here. You say it's been a long night. It's been a long time working the night shift. Dawn is here. The sun is rising. As the sun began to rise, Moses raised his hand over the sea. The water rushed back to its usual place. The Egyptians tried to escape, but the Lord swept them into the sea. Then the waters returned and covered all the chariots and charioteers, the entire army of Pharaoh. Of all the Egyptians who chased the Israelites into the sea, not a single one survived. But the people of Israel had walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground, as the water stood up as a wall on both sides. That is how the Lord rescued Israel from the hand of the Egyptians that day. The Egyptians and the Israelites saw the bodies of the Egyptians washed up on the seashore. And listen to this last verse I read. When the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him. They put their faith in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Some of us need to understand, we need to see this. But here's the thing. When you're under attack, and she's just going to be a prop for like the next few months till she gets healed. When you're under attack, you become an opportunity. People are watching you. You know, there's been a lot of preaching on this stage over the years. I mean, you've preached for 50 years. But we've not preached on this stage together for 50 years. But we've preached over a decade. There's been a lot of preaching on this stage. But when stuff happens, when we mess up, when we make mistakes, when we make conscious, intentional decisions that are bad, or when stuff comes against us, either way, people are going to watch to see how we preach then. Do we have faith for ourselves the way we have faith when we tell you to go through your illness? When we mess up, do we get up or do we lay in our misery and quit? Because we know we tell you guys to get up, right? We tell you guys you went back on drugs again, you went back on alcohol, get up. You can do it. Don't we? So don't you think you watch what we do? Do we get up? I hope we do. Well, thank you, but we're trying. But the whole point is, this little young girl gets to preach a sermon. She didn't ask to preach it. I've still never asked to preach a sermon to my knowledge. But she's preaching. We all go through stuff. Everybody in this room is going through something. People are watching you. You get to preach. Not by what you say. I've learned a long time ago, kids don't care what you say. They see what you do. People are watching your life. They're watching. And there's an enemy, T-Dot, that wants to see you fail. He wants to take you down so he can brag, yeah, that jailhouse religion, that did you good, didn't it? And then that discourages all those other people in that same spot. But when you prevail, when your God prevails for you, then they say, the God that rescued T-Dot will rescue me. Then they have great faith in the Lord and his servant, right? We all have that opportunity. It's what we do with it. We're not here just to get by. We're here to preach. We're here to march. We're here to go together. One army, unified, together. And if you've gotten out of line, well, first of all, if you're in here and you're a sucker, get out, I'll knock you out. I don't think we got any suckers. But if you've gotten out of line, come on back in line. Let's do this together. Let's do it together. Let's do it together. God has our back. We got a position to play. We got a role to do this together. Together. Not lone wolves, not Rambos, not defeated, not slave mentality, not victim mentality. Victims never get any further than that. Even though we've all been victims, but we don't have to have a victim mentality. We got to move and realize that God has our back. So let me say this as we finish up. We're done. There's tough situations in this room, and I don't even know. We've got heart situations and family situations, and I wouldn't point you out, and I don't even know half of them. And honestly, there's probably situations here nobody knows, because some of the darkest stuff we don't tell anybody. The most open book keeps a few secrets. But we're all going through tough situations, and whether your situation is a bad cancer diagnosis, whether your situation is depression, whether your situation is drugs, lack of confidence, pride, religion, all these struggles that can keep us divided, God wants to bring us together. I'm not here to punch out any. I talk tough. I punch out devils. But I want to love all of you. And I want to see us all. I want to see all the churches work together. That's why I would love for this Nikita Koloff to see churches from all over. I want to see that. I don't like people talking bad about me. I wish they didn't. They're welcome. They're welcome back here. Or just be friends. Give a high five in the grocery store. God loves you. And he wants us to do this together. There are tough situations in this room. But I want you to know one thing. I hope you understand this. Because you guys, like they look to Moses, you guys, we play false humility. Dad likes to play false humility because he's humble, and that's a good thing. But we can play false humble too. He's put in a powerful position. There's a lot of responsibility in that position. And he can hum-haw, and I can hum-haw too. And Will and all these, and the wives, and Jenny and Val and Mom and all, everybody in leadership, we can play small because it's easier than playing big. You know, But God has put these people in powerful positions. People are looking at them. You're looking at them. You should look to them. Paul said, follow me as I follow Jesus. But let me make one thing clear. This leadership team, and I'm 100% confident saying this, we're not scared or worried that this thing, that the church is falling and the sky is falling and God's retreated to heaven, that people are getting taken out left and right. We're not worried. Can I be subject to worry in my weakest hours? Of course I can. Do I get challenged at times? Of course I do. But I'm not scared because I know that God has my back. And I know that he works out all things together according to his will and purpose for those that are called, right? So I don't want, and I say all that to say this, I don't want you to be worried. I don't want you to be thinking the world has fell apart. Jesus is gone. The country's gone. It's all gone. No, we're going forward. This is the greatest time in the history of the church. And there's always going to be people that fall outside of the kingdom. You choose your kingdom. There's always going to be people doing bad things. There always has been from the beginning of time. But we win in the end. And we're going forward. You know why? Because we've crossed a few seas before. We've killed a few giants before. And we know the next giant we come across, God's going to take care of him. And the next sea we come to, he's going to spread it for us. And we're all going to walk in together. And down the road, I'm going to take a chariot ride one day. Down the road, one of you in line, you're going to have to change your position. God's going to change your position. But like David and Saul, remember, only God changes positions. You're going to have times where you might have to raise your rod. And other times, you're going to carry the bag for Moses or help a donkey or help a child. But it all is valuable in the kingdom. We are going to get through this thing to purpose, to promise together. We're going to cross this sea. We're going to cross this bridge. And the sucker punch will not take you out. It will not take you out because Jesus himself has your back. I may let you down. And I have let people down. But he'll never let you down. He's got you. He loves you, and we love you. And I want to encourage you today that this is the greatest time to be alive. There's too much bad news out there telling people all this bad stuff. It's not bad. There's a bad devil, but there's a good God. There's a bad devil, but there's a good God. And he's got your back. So today, I thank you for being patient with me. I love you. And we're going to get through this thing. And I'm going to ask you for just a second to bow your head with nobody looking. Because I believe that God wants this army to be united. I believe all my heart he wants us to be united. Because he's got our cover. And you know what happens when you're in the army? I think we do have some soldiers in the room, but before they go to war, they have to make a choice. They come to a place and there's a man, a commissioner, an officer that stands there, and he says, do you accept this commission? And the final step to start the process, you have to step forward. Jason had to step forward. Corey had to step forward. Grant and Juwan and Sal and Eric and all these people in this room that have served our country, they had to stand in a room and they had to take a step forward and say, I am here for battle. And whatever general or whatever officer I'm under, I will play the position I'm assigned for the good and benefit of the team. I believe God wants to align us together and cross a sea. And I believe there's some people in this room, you feel like you've been under attack and you needed to hear that God had your back today because you feel like you've been sucker punched. Is that true? Is there anybody in this room, nobody's looking, says, I feel like I've took a sucker punch lately. I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hands. I see your hands. Sometimes I feel like, man, I'm trying. I see your hands. I'm trying, God. I'm trying to leave Egypt. I'm trying to do what you said. I'm trying to follow the man of God. And that sometimes it feels like I'm getting a sucker punch. Let me tell you something. Everybody hear me that raised your hand. You are getting a sucker punch. But Jesus wants to tell you today that he's got you covered. And he's got your back. And if you've been in this room and you say, you know what, I have to admit, the Holy Spirit has counseled my heart. And I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. I just want you to listen to me. And I've got out of line. It's not that I'm a bad person. I'm trying to do the right thing. But sometimes I get out of line. I get out of position. And we've all done that. If you play sports, you do it a lot. And coach brings you in and you learn a lesson. I've gotten out of line. But I want to get back in line because I know we're going places. Then I want to say this message is for you today. Because I'm not here to kick anybody in the tail. I'm here to pick you up and say, let's go. My buddy Travis Sturgill, that was his famous saying. He'd get up and he'd say, let's go. Travis is with Jesus right now. And I'm reminded of him with a smile and I say, let's go. Let's do it together. Nobody left behind. If you're here and you took a lick and you've fallen, there's brothers and sisters in this room that just want to give you a hand up, give you a pat on the tail and say, let's go do this. Amen. So how many would say this? God's done a work in me today. And I want to cross that sea with this army. I want to cross that sea with God's army. Is there anybody that wants to raise their hand with that? I know there's all hands all over this room. I know we're playing in a different rule base these days, but we still free people. We still a lot we can do, and we can still come to an altar, and we can still pray, and we can still say, God, here I am, reporting for duty. And if you're taking an attack, you can come and say, God, come on, get my back. I need you today. And if you're out of line or been out of line, come back and come up here and say, God, I want to get back in line and put me in position. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. Right? So here's what I'm going to do. Keep your hands up if you put your hands up. Anybody in this room, any of those questions, put your hands up. I'm going to count to three. When I count to three, if you want to come forward, if you want to stay where you are for social distance or for whatever reason, you can. I'm not going to. I don't. That's up to you. But if you want to move to this altar today, and come and bow at this altar and pray. Then I'm going to say, when I say three, you come on, all right? One, two. Don't worry about the sucker punch. The devil's trying to talk you out of moving right now, but it's been a while since some of you moved. Today, I think God said move. You ready? Three, move. Three, move. Come on. If you had your hand up, just come on up forward. Just come to this altar. Just come to this altar. There's plenty of room. We've got a big old altar. 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 Just find a spot. God is changing your situation. God wants to move in your life. You see, the powerful thing, I want you to listen to. These guys are praying. They're doing fine. You all just do your thing up here. But for those of you out there, or those of you on the internet, or those of you in behind the walls today, remember what the Bible said in this scripture we read. The people moved, and God moved. God wants to move in your situation. But maybe he's challenging you to move. And so I'm going to put this microphone down, and I'm going to pray myself. In just a second, I am going to do a prayer over the internet or whatever. But while any time you can come forward, you don't have to. There's no right or wrong time. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are King. We thank you that you are on the move and you win. We thank you that you are leading us to the front and you have our back. We thank you that you will cover us, Lord, with your protection. Lord, if there's any out there that don't know you or they're not following you, Lord, we pray right now that they give their heart to you, that they get in line and they play the position assigned and they move towards purpose and away from Egypt. And Lord, the sucker punches are going to come, but we know you have our back and we trust you and we believe you, Lord. So if you're out there and you've not been following you, and you don't know Jesus, you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus today, I want you just to repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, I've messed up. I've made bad decisions. I'm not following you. But I know your blood is enough to cover my sins. I know you died for me. I know you got up for me. And I want to make you my King, my Lord, and my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And I will follow you and witness to your power. In Jesus' name. And for everybody else out there, I just pray an encouragement for you today. I encourage you that God has your front and back, and you're going to win, and you're going to get through whatever you're facing. Whatever the word is comes against you, if it's counter to the word of God, it is lie. Whatever word is spoken into you, whether it's a doctor, whether it's a lawyer, whether it's a family.